This is the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com, your weekly check-in on the biggest stories from districts 5 and 6 in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey. We are joined by our East Idaho expert, Sean Kane. What's up, Sean?
Hey, you know, we get to hear the intro before this comes on, and I noticed that it's Paul's voice on it, and I'm like, we can't get an East Idaho guy to do the East Idaho intro, but that was just the thought I had right at this moment. But, you know, I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, yeah. So a little behind the scenes here at idahosports.com on the backside, the production end of things. I'm the one that does all of that. I thought it would be good to use a neutral voice, somebody who's not on any of the prep casts, and that's kind of the announcer.
But he kind of pops up on some of them, though. You know what I mean?
Okay. Every once in a while. Not. He's a tough guy to nail down. He's very busy. Okay.
He texts me and always gives me all kinds of crap. So I wanted to start out by just giving him a little bit on this. That's kind of where I was going with it. The boss, the big guy's kind of got a unique sense of humor, but I like it.
Yeah. And you know, the first season we did the prep casts, we had Wayne DeZubak, who was a broadcaster for a long time in Boise, college, pro, you name it. He has since moved out of state, so he's not part of the Idaho sports team anymore. But he did the liners, the intros for the first season, and then we had to bring in Paul. That's like, you know, the person who has to take over for Nick Saban at Alabama, right? Or the person who has to take over for Sean Kane at Century Tennis one day. You're following a legend.
The pants still go on one leg at a time, you know?
I like that. That's going to be our title here. Let me jot that down. One leg at a time.
No, it's a good intro. I just thought at some point have to give him a little bit of a hard time about it, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, Paul was actually in your neck of the woods last week, Sean, over in Pocatello, along with Logan Green and Lance Taylor, as idahosports.com for the third year in a row provided live broadcast coverage of the DirectCom Invite. It is one of the biggest track meets of the year in terms of teams in East Idaho. I know Tiger Grizz is coming up this weekend, which will be huge. And Rigby had a track invite last week as well. It was a good time for track and field in East Idaho. 32 teams came to Davis Field on the campus of Idaho State University over there in Pocatello. And we were able to provide coverage of all of the track events and then some of the field events as well. It was a great time.
Yeah, it's just a phenomenal event. I love Davis Field. It's a great place to be. And how cool were you able to, Idaho Sports is to provide some coverage of track. Let's, you know, very, very rarely we get a ton of track coverage, and it's a nice venue to have all that and all those different things. Right. And to get to see all the different events, and a lot of events don't always get the spotlight. You know, we always talk about, you know, the 100 or whatever, but you got a nice slice of the cake there.
Yeah. And it was cool because like for the 100 and then the finish line, our finish line camera, it was like they were running at you. Like the camera was pointed directly at the finish line. So the runners are just getting closer and closer, like running into your living room. It was pretty cool. So you can go back and watch that at idahosports.com. We were on the air for like 7 or 8 hours and broadcasted all the track and field actions. So it was a good time.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing too, because you could like pop in, you know, if you had some free time, pop in, watch, come back, because it's like there's never not something going on at a track meet. There's things are happening actually at the same time, right? So you know, for viewing, it's kind of fun. I've at the end of the year or so, they start showing, you know, like the college end of the year track, and it's kind of fun because they cut to all the different things and you get to see stuff that, you know, is never on TV. But I will say it was pretty interesting to see. I'm sure we're going to go over it, but like who ended up winning for the boys and girls.
Yeah. I will say 2 years ago, Sean, Idaho State University hosted the Big Sky Conference track and field championships. And I was the broadcaster for that on ESPN Plus. It was a very long 3 days. And I felt like I was going to get whiplash because they were just, it would be like, oh, this 100 just finished. let's get a shot of the high jump. Oh, this is such and such from Sac State on the high jump. Now we're going to go to the discus where this person from Montana is throwing. And it was just, oh, it was nonstop. It was crazy.
Well, you're nothing but a professional, so I'm glad they went straight to the top.
That's right. And now we're going to go. No, we're going to stay at the top of the team races here in the Direct.com invite. This event, 32 teams came from 5A all the way down to 1A. It's actually a 1A school that hosts this. Rockland hosts this every year. Spoiler alert, Rockland did very well, especially Ezra Hubbard on the individual side. The boys' title went to Snake River. It was very tightly contested, Sean. 63 points for the Panthers to take first. Pocatello took second, only 3 points back of Snake River at 60. And then Napa Christian took third at 56. So pretty tight top three there.
Yeah, and the Rockland boys team 53 at fourth and Marsh Valley at fifth at 48. So those top five was very close.
And Snake River won despite not having a single individual champion. Pretty impressive.
Wow. Yeah, very rare.
Yeah. On the girls' side, a little more dominant. Soda Springs runs away with the team title, 101.2 points. Again, Pocatello got the silver, 70.5 for the Thunder to take second. Firth took third at 62.2. And then Malad was like a point, just over a point behind Firth for third place. Malad took fourth at 61. That was the girls' race.
Yeah, just a really good look, in-depth look of how deep East Idaho is in track, right? It doesn't matter the classification. I mean, the Snake River and the boys, Rockland and the boys, Marsh Valley, and then you look at the girls, you know, you have Firth, Malad, and then obviously Soda Springs, who's, you know, when it comes to running long distances, the Cardinals fly very far.
Yeah, they are known for their cross-country prowess, of course. We had on the boys' side, Sean, four double winners. Four different young men won two events. On the girls' side, only two multi-event winners, but they each won three events. So we had two three-event winners on the girls' side. So I think we'll start with the girls, and then we'll go back to the boys. Soda Springs won the title, right? Nettie Garbutt swept the sprints, the one, the two, and the four, and she is going to be among, if not the favorite, in all of those events at the 2A state meet a little later on this spring.
Yeah, and you got to think Soda Springs girls track team has a legitimate shot, right? I mean, with her able to win those events or place in all those events going forward, wow. Soda Springs kind of rises up into the ranks there.
Our other triple winner was from Marsh Valley, Lydia Townsend, who really burst onto the scene last year. She won the 100 hurdles, the high jump, and the pole vault. So anything that involved elevation, Sean.
Yeah, if you were going up on the elevator, she was there.
Other champions were Haley Jackson of Century in the 3200, Haley Renzello of Pocatello in the 800, Jordan Kern from American Falls in the discus, Maddie Watt from Snake River in the long jump, Daytona Folkman from Firth in the triple jump, Oakley Hebden of Malad in the 300 hurdles, Lucy Boone of Ryrie in the 1600, and then Sydney Freeman of Rockland in the shot put. Those are all names that we have recognized from other sports, some cross country, some basketball, some volleyball. I love seeing these multi-sport athletes go out and compete.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that's the best thing you can see when you look at different results is, oh, we know them from football. Oh, we know them from track. We know them from volleyball. And it makes our job kind of easier, right? Yeah. We get the same names over and over again, but it just shows you the great depth of athletes in East Idaho and how they're multi-sport faceted. And I, you know, that's what it takes to be a great athlete, I believe, is to be that multi-sport athlete. I think it's a key component, and you just see it. You see it in these winners.
Yep. We mentioned on the boys' side, Ezra Hubbard from Rockland. He was a double winner, took the 4 and the 800. Deegan Store of Soda Springs swept the hurdles races, the 110s and the 300s. Braylon Tripp from Malad won two of the jumping events, the long jump and the triple jump. And Corbridge Bastion of Marsh Valley took the two short sprints, the one and the two. Other individual champs were Daniel Sandoval of Aberdeen in the shot put, Christian Busch of Bear Lake in the high jump. He cleared 6'6". Levi Robbins of Firth in the 3200, Ethan Willis of Westside in the 1600, and Boston Anderson from Butte County in the disc. So we had a couple of 1A guys bring home individual titles.
Yeah, just a great showing of those smaller schools against the bigger schools. And yeah, it's good stuff. And I love the, when you look at the results, that the Butte County Pirate with the swords is pretty awesome too, as their logo. Just to throw that out there.
Yeah. Hey, you can't help but love it. And then meanwhile, last weekend, Sean, Rigby was hosting their annual invite, the Rigby Physical Therapy Invitational. They had, it wasn't quite 32 teams, but it was a lot of the big dogs, right? A lot of 4A, 3A, 5A teams there. Century went up and competed. So they must have split their team up a little bit. You had Bonneville, Idaho Falls, Madison, all the usual suspects. It was basically an East Idaho affair. Wood River did come over from the Magic Valley, but that was it. The team winners were Rigby on both sides. I'm sure you're shocked to hear that, Sean. And they won both going away. The boys won with 176.28 points. Idaho Falls was second at 96.14. And then on the girls' side, Rigby, 163 points. Highland took second at 97.25. So two dominant wins for Rigby at their home meet.
Yeah, you know, Rigby's track is just, I think I've mentioned this story before. When we go to state in the spring, we always seem to end up at the same gas station in Twin Falls as Rigby track. And the key to that is getting there before them, because it's like 70 kids. You know, if you want to order food, they've got a lot of people going to state. Get there before Rigby, because they bring I think like two buses of kids. So no surprises there.
Yeah. Just quickly looking at some of the individuals, Parker Elliott from Idaho Falls won the one and the two, smoking in the 100. Sean, he ran a 10.82 sub 11. That's awesome. Matea Mangum from Century swept the short sprints on the girls' side, the one and the two. You had Gracie Anderson of Highland win the 400. So this was a big enough meet where they had prelims and then finals. Her teammate Tambry Bell actually had the best prelim time. And then it looks like maybe she didn't run in the finals. Gracie Anderson from Highland won the finals there. You had as well on the distance races, Samuel Spencer of Thunder Ridge won the 800. Neela Roberts from Skyline won the girls 800. Luke Affey of Idaho Falls took the boys 1600. You had Courtney Earle from Thunder Ridge won the girls 1600 and the 3200. Alexander Renna from Skyline won the 3200. The hurdles races, 110s went to Mason Edwards from Hillcrest, and the 300s went to Eli Taylor from Rigby. We'll talk more about him in that particular event in a second. Girls hurdles, Teresa Christensen of Century won the 300s. The 100s went to Hattie Williams, a freshman from Hillcrest. And then as we get into the field events and the individuals there, Reagan Trulson of Century wins the shot put on the girls' side. Savannah Franz of Rigby wins the girls' discus. The boys' throws, Rigby goes 1-2-3 in the shot. Mason Burgess, Abram Womack, John Anderson. That was in the discus, excuse me. A freshman from South Fremont. Actually, that was the Frosh. They had varsity and Frosh competitions as well. Rigby went 1-4 in the discus. Womack, Burgess, Anderson, and then Braden Mon, a sophomore. So they go top four in the disc. Abby Scott from Rigby leads a 1-2-3 Trojan finish in the girls' pole vault. Briley Smith of Madison won the high jump. They did do the javelin. Abby Scott won that from Rigby as well, right?
I was going to say, is javelin at state?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what I didn't think so either, but that's still kind of cool to see it pop up every once in a while. I couldn't remember. I'm like, did we add? There's been so many IHSA board meetings. I don't know. Did javelin get thrown in there?
Oh, but a Dutch. My dogs really didn't like that joke.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm here in my office with the window open. They see somebody walking by. Okay. Hey, Brindley Bybee of Rigby won the long jump. We had Waylon Fry of Teton win the boys javelin. Gracie Anderson of Highland took the triple jump. Noah Tanner from South Fremont clear 6'5" to win the boys high jump. And then Rigby won the pole vault. Chase Campbell as well. But Eli Taylor, Sean, in the 300 hurdles twice now in the last 9 days, and Marlo Herford detailed this really well in this week's edition of the Bell Lab. He has now broken Idaho's all-time record twice in the last 9 days, including last week at the Rigby invite.
Yeah, with last week at the Rigby invite was 37.51, and which is his, you know, PR. But also in that article, it mentions how he's now top 20 in the United States. Top 20 in the United States, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I heard the tail end of that. He is number 22 nationally in the 300 meter hurdles. It was really fun. Everyone should go read the Bell Lab this week. It's on idahosports.com. It runs in the family. His older brother Nathan, class of 22 at Rigby High, and then his sister Brooklyn was in the class of 2020. His dad hurdled as well. But here's what he said in the article. My dad never got first at state. My brother and my sister never got first at state. We've all gotten second. We call it the Taylor curse. I want to break the Taylor curse and get first. What do you think?
I like it. I think you know, he definitely have the best time right now. It's you know, it's obviously, we all know state's a different beast to get up there and have to perform, but he's definitely set himself up to be right there at the end later on in May.
Yep. And then Rigby, of course, will be competing at Tiger Grizz this weekend. Sean, over 40 teams competing for the 50th annual Tiger Grizz invite at Ravston Stadium this Friday and Saturday. That's going to be, it's the premier track and field event in East Idaho. Definitely, I would contend in the state, but you know, it no matter how you slice it, it's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, it's, you know, I would definitely go say it's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, really track meet invite in the state. You know, typically, I think if we cross-reference, you know, who wins that and who wins state besides, you know, and I think Boise schools have come to it in the past, but I don't know if any are this year. But, you know, Boise or North Idaho and Magic Valley. But, you know, if you win Tiger Grizz, your chances at state are phenomenally well. You know, it seems like when kids win from East Idaho, it kind of matches up to state, but that'd be a good deep dive sometime to cross reference how well, if you do Tiger Grizz. And we'll talk about another invite that kind of preludes the same thing later in the show.
I could be misremembering this, but when Matea Mangum was a freshman running for Pocatello, she's now at Century, but she was with Pocatello and she went up to Tiger Grizz and competed in the freshman, you know, heat of the 100. They had a fresh frosh and then a varsity, and she ran the fastest time regardless of anybody.
I think that's right. That first one was the fastest one of the whole meet, I believe.
And then Pokey was like, huh, okay, I guess she's ready for the varsity.
Move on up. Yeah. Put her in, put her in, coach, put me in.
Yep. I'm trying to look here. It doesn't look like any teams from the West are coming over this year.
I feel like they have in the past, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. But we do have a couple of out-of-staters coming. Jackson, Wyoming, Spring Creek, which is from Nevada, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they're going to come from Nevada for this meet, Sean. That'll be interesting. It's going to be a good time. Tiger Grizz, 50th annual. This weekend, and they missed a year due to COVID-19, of course, the 2020 season, but it's not 50 consecutive, but 50 overall. Tiger Grizz going to be a great time. Okay. Let's quickly take a look at the softball and baseball conference standings with a week to go in the regular season. Some leagues have a little longer than others. The very first district tournament start next Monday, Sean, the 29th, the Mountain Rivers Conference, Sugar Salem, Teton, South Fremont. They always get an early start on everybody. So that will start next week. So next week we'll have brackets to look at and break down. That'll always be fun. But let's start on the baseball side of things. at the 5A level. Highland still unblemished, 10-0 in High Country Conference play, 15-6 overall. They did get pushed by Rigby last night in a doubleheader. They had to win by a single run over the Trojans, but this is Highland's league.
Yeah, Highland's firmly in the driver's seat right now. And you know, it's kind of right now their district tournament, right, to win or lose at this point. But Rigby, you know, played them pretty tight games. They've had some tight games with Madison as well. And one game with Thunder Ridge went into extra innings back April 17th. But yeah, it'll be a fun tournament for sure. I think you got a few teams that are, you know, capable of coming out of it, but Highland right now in the driver's seat.
Yep. Rigby and Madison are both tied for second. They're both 4-6 in league play. There is, you know, a half bid available from this district tournament. Whoever takes second gets a chance to win the a play-in game to get to state. Rigby and Madison have split so far this year, Sean, and they wrap up the season on Saturday with a doubleheader in Rexburg, and that will determine who takes second place.
Yeah, that's kind of big, right? I think for Rigby and Madison, you want to get that second seed and not have to face Highland until the final and really set yourself up to make it to state, either winning it or in that play-in game. So that's a big game coming up this weekend.
Yep. Let's go to 4A. We'll just stay in the High Country Conference, District 6. Blackfoot is 10-2 in the league, 14-5 overall. And then Skyline and Bonneville are each tied for second. They're both 8-4 in the league. Skyline's 12-8 overall. Bonneville is 10-10. This was a league in years past where it's like the 5 seed has made it to the championship. The 4 seed has made it. So being a top seed doesn't necessarily mean anything. In the regular season, Bonneville did take 2 of 3 from Skyline. So they would have the head-to-head criteria there. You do want to finish in the top 2 because you get a bye. And then 3 has to play 6 in a best of 3. 4 has to play 5 in a best of 3 series also. So really, the key for Skyline is going to be they have 3 games left. It's with Idaho Falls. They have to hope that they pick up some wins there. And then somewhere along the way, you know, can Bonneville stub their toe enough times? They finish with 3 games against Hillcrest. So, and Hillcrest is at 4-8. So I don't know. Blackfoot, Skyline, Bonneville, though, all are capable of getting to state. 2 bids available.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And yeah, this District 6 County Conference is always an exciting baseball. You never know what's going to happen. There's always something that happens in these 3-game series. So it'll be a great fun one to watch.
Let's go to District 5, the Southeast Idaho Conference, where Pocatello and Century played their 3-game bout last week, and Century took a game. So Pokey won the first game 9-0. Century won the second game 13-6. And then Pokey bounced back and won the third game 12-1. So what does that mean? Well, it means for the moment, Pocatello and Preston are tied for first at 2-1 because Preston also took 2 of 3 from Century. Century's done in conference play. They finished 2-4. And we kind of did a deep dive into Preston last week. We were talking about, you know, was Thompson their standout player, the coach's son? I can tell you, Sean, that Dan Hubbard from KACH Radio did reach out to me and said, yep, that is confirmed. And thanks for the Preston love. And
yeah, we
told each other, keep up the good work, basically. So there you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, Dan would definitely know. He probably knows if they have cousins from a long time ago as well. But yeah, but Pocatello and Preston finish out the season. So that's kind of the big games to see here, right? Looks like they played today, actually. So the first game, a doubleheader today, and then 1 game tomorrow. So we'll have some results, and that conference will probably be figured out by the end of today.
Yeah, we're recording this on Wednesday, April 24th, a doubleheader today, a single game tomorrow. I can tell you, Sean, Pokey did win the first game 20-5. So there you go.
Oh, and now, well.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, if you got to step out, you're good. You can.
Oh, no, it was just a report from upstairs. Everything's good.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. We'll move a little quicker through the rest of these so you can get back to pizza night with your kids. 3A. Let's see. In the Mountain Rivers Conference, Sugar Salem still the favorite. They're 4-0, 14-4 overall. South Fremont's 2-2. Teton is 1-5. Kind of the same story in District 5. It's Marsh Valley way out in front. They're 11-5 overall, 2-0. In the district, Snake River's 1-1. American Falls is 0-2, having a tough go of it this year. We like Sugar to get to state. We like Marsh Valley to get to state. The second place teams from each of these districts will play each other in a regional play-in game. The winner of that will then play the second place team from District 4. So there is a chance for somebody. I think I like South Fremont a little more than Snake River right now, but in a one-game scenario, really anything could happen. But yeah, that's the 3A.
Yeah, I would agree. Just anything can happen there. Snake River or South Fremont, and then also one more game, right, to play after that. So a lot's going to happen before we know that.
2A, the Nuclear Conference. Firth is 5-0 in the league, 13-7 overall. Chalice Mackey is 3-0 in the league, 11-2-1 overall. Sean, they play tomorrow, Thursday the 25th. And then a week from today, next Wednesday, those two games will decide the regular season Nuke title.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this last time is Firth and Chalice Mackey. It's kind of come down to the end of the season, and then we'll have to see how that district tournament pans out.
Yeah, the good news is there are two bids available to state from this district. So Firth and Chalice Mackey, good chance they both got to state last year. Good chance they could get back again this year. Down in District 5, it's Malad. They're 2-0 in the conference, 10-7 overall. Soda Springs is 2-16. Bear Lake's 1-9. Nothing to see here. Move on, Malad, just continuing to excel. And that's baseball. Let's go to the softball landscape here, Sean. And again, we'll start at the top here, 5A. Highland is that's baseball still. Hold on. I was gonna say it's not
Thunder Ridge.
Yes. Thunder Ridge 7-0 in conference, 17-0. Can they get to state with an undefeated record?
I mean, it's a cool thing to talk about, but I know as a coach you probably could care less as long as you finish out that district and get that, you know, first bid to state. And yeah, Thunder Ridge, man. The pitching has just been on fire. The bats are on fire. That's a softball team on a mission right now.
Two big games with Madison coming up, Sean. Madison's the team in second. They're 4-4 in the league, 12-6-1 overall. We learned during girls basketball season, don't count out these Madison girls in a state play-in game. They could definitely earn their way to state. They played earlier this year in Rexburg, and Thunder did win, but it was two tight games, 2-0 and 6-3. They'll play tomorrow at Thunder Ridge. If Madison can sweep there, all of a sudden things get a little more interesting.
Yeah, you cannot count out Madison. Can't underestimate them. But yeah, just Thunder Ridge right now, I think they're tough to beat, and they find a way to win those close games, and that's a telltale sign of a team on the right direction to state.
Yep. 4A, Southeast Idaho Conference, District 5. It's Pocatello, right? The state runner-up from a year ago. They're 4-0 in the conference, 14-3 overall. The more interesting story is in District 6, the High Country Conference, where Blackfoot is in first. They're 6-1, 12-6 overall. Idaho Falls is second, 5-2. They're 9-6 overall. And then you've got a three-way tie. Hillcrest, Skyline, Shelley, they're all 3-4. So really, you know, Blackfoot, Idaho Falls, the top two teams, they play today, Sean. They played yesterday in the first game in Idaho Falls. Blackfoot won 12-11 in 8 innings. It went extras. What does the rematch have in store?
Well, I guess we'll find out. But someone did comment last week on our podcast that Marley Piper, it is her first year playing. She's for Blackfoot. She's always been involved in probably like some spring basketball, and that's all over with. So this is her first year. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome that she decided to pick up the cleats and the bat for her final semester of high school. Definitely. We'll see what happens in that second game. And we'll see if any of those three teams that are back in the pack, Hillcrest, Skyline, Shelley, if they can play spoiler. Hillcrest has the pedigree, and they are, Sean, they're 15-6 overall. They're 3-4 in league play. They basically have lost twice to Blackfoot and then twice to Idaho Falls. and the games were close. They lost by a run each time to Idaho Falls, and then they lost twice by three runs to Blackfoot.
Yeah, I mean, you've got another District 6 tournament coming up where it's, you know, Blackfoot right now is kind of the favorite, but really, you know, you've got that Hillcrest team that we talked about earlier in the year. They went and played all those tournaments, and they've gotten the game. So, I mean, a couple more wins, they could maybe sneak into that second spot, but it should be good nonetheless.
Yeah, and I misspoke, Sean. Hillcrest did actually split with Blackfoot. That's where Blackfoot's loss came this year, was against Hillcrest. So, yeah, those top three all going to be in the mix for sure. In the 3A ranks, Sean, let's start in District 5, where Mark Valley is in front, 2-0 in the league, 10-7 overall. Snake River is 9-7 overall. They're 1-1 in conference play. And then, you know, American Falls back at the pack. Marsh Valley and Snake have played once this year already. I'm pretty sure. Yes, Marsh Valley won 7-2. The rematch comes next Tuesday in the regular season finale. If Snake River can win that, they could force a tie for the regular season title. And that's huge, because whoever's the number one seed gets to host districts, because two will play three, and then the winner of that has to play number one immediately right after. So that's huge to finish first.
Yeah, that'll be definitely getting that first seed is going to be very helpful. So Marsh Valley is going to want to finish it out, but Snake River also having a good season, so it'll be real interesting to see what happens.
Mountain Rivers Conference, Sean, I don't know, you got a coin? Tetons 3-3, Sugars 2-2, South Fremont's 2-2. They've all beaten each other. They're all 500. Teton is done. Sugar and South have one more game. They actually have two more games against each other. And if either side can sweep, then that's your regular season champion. But who knows?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Teton's 3-3 at the top, but 7-8 overall. And Sugar's 10-6, but 2-2. Yeah, who knows? They're going to just have to play it out in the conference tournament and see, you know, what happens.
Yep. And then finally, 2A softball, Nuclear Conference, North Fremont in front, 5-0 in the league, 9-3-1 overall. Firth is 4-1. North Fremont did just beat Firth, by four or five runs. In District 5, it's Malad. They're 2-0. They're 16-0 and 1. They have this big, and I guess technically it's still going, this 30-plus game undefeated streak. The tie doesn't necessarily change that. They tied at their own tournament last Saturday, the Scott Ray invite. So I guess technically they're still unbeaten, right?
Yeah. I didn't know it could end in a tie, though. I was looking that up. They tied against Declo 8-8. Do you just run out of time, or?
Yeah, because at a tournament, you know, you have to condense. You can't have a game go long.
Play the next game. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So
interesting. Yep. So still technically undefeated. Yeah. But they
do
want
to hear about.
I was going to say they do play. They did end up beating Declo later on, 20-8. So, I mean, yeah, that kind of answers that question.
I think so. And if you want to hear about some weird tiebreaker stuff, tune into the North Idaho Prepcast this week. Some weird, funky, ran out of daylight tiebreaker stuff going on up north. So, yeah, those are the baseball and softball races. With a week to go in the regular season, some teams to keep an eye on. And Sean, let's wrap up with the sport that's near and dear to your heart, tennis. The, what is it? The 40th?
43rd.
43rd.
Yeah, 43rd. So, you know, obviously I think it would be like 45. There was no COVID. And then after COVID, they didn't invite anyone. They just did it in Boise with just Boise teams. So maybe the 40. But actually, without those 2 years, it might be the 45th. But anyways, the 43rd Capital Classic in all of Boise. 32 teams are going to head up to Boise tomorrow to compete in a very big tournament. As far as I know, one of the biggest tennis tournaments in the Northwest, and even some teams from Oregon. So it's going to be good. You know, it's and like I kind of previewed it before, if you can win Capital, you should win state in your respective division. Now, we do have 5A, 4A, 3A. Of course, in tennis, anything under 3A all goes to 3A. But I don't think there's any full teams that aren't anything but a 3A. Like Parma is always a very dominant 3A team. So yeah, it's going to be really good. We've got a lot of Magic Valley. They've got a lot of East Idaho teams going. A couple of those teams were playing right now before I came. Highland and Thunder Ridge, kind of two of the top teams in 5A in district, you know, in the 5A conference, and they were playing. I had a match before Century played Sugar Salem, and then Highland played Thunder Ridge after, and I stayed and watched a little bit. But they'll be heading up. It'll be good. You know, you how it works is day one, you play a pod of four, so you have three matches. However you come out of your pod, you go to a championship bracket. The top two move on, bottom two move to a consolation bracket, and then it's single elimination Saturday. So if you have to, if to win it, you got to win like four matches on Saturday, and it can be a brutal feat. So anyone who's ever won that tournament has done something in tennis you probably will never ever do again, because all the rules say you can't play that many matches in a day. So it's awesome. It's a great event. The kids, it's a really a time for the kids to see what they're capable of and get ready for state. But again, it's the biggest tournament in tennis you can really even hope to have. And you know, your pods will have someone from Hermiston, like Oregon or Parma or Timberline or Idaho Falls. So you get a great mix of competition, and just really thankful to be a part of it. And it'll be exciting. I'm just really happy to see how everyone does and acts appropriately in the hotel and on the bus, you know?
Yeah. If we can get through with everybody on their best behavior, that's a good win also. Definitely. Yeah. 43rd annual Capital Classic tennis tournament this weekend in Boise. And we'll have the results for you next week. See how East Idaho did against all those big, bad Treasure Valley teams. So I know you got to get ready for that, Sean.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I do. I was going to say we did have the Gate City invite last week. Yeah, so I was going to give you some results. So the boys singles champion and number one boys singles was Braden Johnson of Highland, runner-up Max Shang from Century. Girls singles was Idaho Falls, Addie Wood, Westwood. Boys doubles was Daniel and Liam McGee from Century. Mixed doubles was Tyden Lynn, Kate Spicer from Century. Girls doubles, I never got a final result on, so I don't know. They didn't email me it back, but I'm pretty sure it was probably Madison or Idaho Falls. But those were just some of the categories. But a great tournament, and really thankful Madison was able to host it. But yeah, some good players coming out of East Idaho and now going up to Capitol.
I forgot I had my mic on mute. So it's the weather's finally starting to be nice for tennis. And so good luck to all of our East Idaho teams that are going over to compete in the Capital Classic this weekend over in Boise. And next week we'll be back with brackets, district softball and baseball brackets. We're getting those put up on the website. We have the state tournament brackets for baseball up already. Softball shouldn't be too far behind. We're getting to the finish line here, Sean.
It comes very quickly. I have so much stuff to do. Like pack a bag, whatever. But I'll just go and just wear sweatpants and a shirt and a hat for the rest of my life. But yeah, it comes real quick. But we got a lot of fun action. There's a lot of things that happen, and then it's like districts and then state, and it'll happen in a blink of an eye. So just remember to really enjoy the time you have with your teammates, and have those memories and have fun. And remember, it's about fun and making those memories. I always, you know, these things happen so fast. I've done it 20 times before, so I don't even think about it. But some kids, this might be their only time or their fourth time. But you got to just remember how important it is. And these are memories you're going to have for the rest of your life, whether it's softball, baseball, tennis, track. It'll be great.
Yep, no doubt. We're getting to the end of it in spring sports. Enjoy the competitions this week and this weekend, everybody. Travel safe. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of the East Idaho Prepcast. For Sean Kane, I'm Brandon Bainey. Thanks for tuning in on idahosports.com.